I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. I welcome my colleague and friend Francis Rose. He is the host of Government Matters, WJLA, in the nation's capital, attending to climate change, but not only climate change, the challenge to make climate change acceptable to all Americans. We live among it. It's here. I tell a story. Pascal's Wager, it's called. It's from the Enlightenment period. Pascal supposed there is a God. Suppose there is not a God. The rational person will live his or her life as if there is a God. Why? Because the payoff is heaven and eternity. The downside is you give up candy. Whereas if you live the other way, there's not a God, and the end comes, you see. Same thing applies, in my opinion, to climate change. Suppose there's climate change, you live accordingly, and the payoff is you live well. Suppose there's not climate change, you've not lost anything. Francis, a very good evening to you. You had a lovely conversation this week about depoliticizing climate change. This from the Defense Department's point of view. You spoke with Lachlan Carey, Associate Fellow for the Energy and Climate Change Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Whose good idea is it to lower the sound effects of climate change? Good evening to you, Francis.
Good evening, John. Well, thank you for having me on, as always. Where this is mostly coming from right now regarding the national security community are the commanders who are out in the field and seeing the residual effects of climate change. And those folks, number one, make it a point that they're not political. And number two, have to deal with the realities of what they see on the ground. And for example, in the Arctic, I've covered the Arctic a lot lately because of what is going on there climate-wise. The Russians and Chinese are staking claims in the Arctic. The Russians this week were learning about a military base that they've established there. The Russians regard the Arctic as the Suez Canal of the North, and they plan to use it to access markets in Europe and Africa that they can't access or can't access as well as easily now. So that's where the discussion about climate change is coming from. In the national security community, it's, I wouldn't say unimportant what's causing it, but understanding what its implications are and understanding what the national security potential threats are to the United States is definitely part of the conversation that's going on right now.
Mr. Carey says that the investment recommendation is for the department to invest in human capital and risk analysis. Now, they are spending money already, so how will this help depoliticize it? You see, Francis, there's a sharp line down the middle about climate change everywhere in the culture. Will this, the lessons they learn at DOD, will they be able to be translated to the civilian population?
Well, I hope so. I mean, because the discussion, as I say, inside the Defense Department is not, is this real or is this not real? The issue is data-driven, and there is less ice, for example, in the Arctic than there was before. Water levels are higher, et cetera, et cetera. These are all measurable things, and the conclusion is that they are coming about as a result of climate change. The goal is not to assign a boogeyman and say, we have to stop doing X, Y, or Z. The national security community is focused on what are the realities that the trend lines that we're seeing will cause us to face in the out years. That's where it's coming from, and that's why I think potentially it's useful for the civilian population, both in government and people outside government, to say, this is a real thing, this is something that we need to deal with, and then to drive that conversation outside of the NatSec community about how you change whatever you change in order to do it.
The rising seas. Thankfully, there was a supermoon and rising seas to free the very large container ship that stopped, as far as I could tell, stopped the progress of the solar system for about a week. And you spoke with Admiral James Foggio, U.S. Navy retired, distinguished fellow for the Center for European Policy Analysis, about the supply chain. All right, connect to the supply chain to that large container ship. What did we learn, Francis?
Well, what we learned from a defense and national security perspective, what's important about Jamie Foggio is that he was the commander of U.S. Europe-Africa Command until October of last year. And the first thing he told me that I didn't know is that if we have a ship on the east side of Africa and the Suez Canal is closed, we need at least two stops to get it around the Horn of Africa to get it to the west side of the continent. And that means that we need to have at least two allies at which we can port. The other option is to have a fleet of refueling tankers to go with that ship to fill it up with gas all the way around. What if there's a medical emergency that requires taking someone off the ship? There are a number of what ifs that he poses in that conversation. And Jamie's point is that we need to be thinking now about all of the places in the world where we may be potentially denied access, either through an adversary's activities or through some dumb luck like we experienced with the ship in the Suez Canal. We need contingency plans in place, both defense-wise, but also economically. Same conversation is happening off of the shore of Long Beach, California, where there were ships stacked up from China with goods. That wasn't a national security emergency, but what if the goods that were on board that ship were something, or those ships were something that we were suffering shortages from? And Jamie's point is, what are we thinking and what are we doing about the contingency plans that are necessary to be in place in the event that some of these things that could go wrong do go wrong?
The admiral is concerned with China. Now, Francis, the Chinese PLA Navy is not ready to take on the U.S. Navy, but it's racing ahead. It's doing as best as possible. So I presume the admiral's concern is not just about warfare. It's also about what you're talking about, logistics and being able to project power into the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, and another issue is the topic that you've talked about on your program a number of times, and that's One Belt, One Road. And the inroads that they're making in China, Admiral Fogo and I talked off the air about the Chinese taking over, having license to a port in Africa for 99 years because the home country couldn't pay back what the Chinese government loaned them. And will the Chinese – so if that's where we needed to stop, would we be able to? We don't know. If China is our adversary, as we have stated and they have stated, probably not. And so what's the contingency plan for those kinds of things? So and obviously Africa's not the only place in the world where we may need to get from one place to the other and be denied access, either because of an adversarial relationship or because of some unfortunate event that we didn't anticipate coming, some black swan.
And we have less than a minute, Francis. The admiral wants us to train with African nations, train and exercise naval exercises. That's a very good way to use diplomacy, to train together.
Well, and to teach and to share what we know with these countries and to help them help themselves is the idea behind what Admiral Fogo's suggesting there.
Francis Rose, he is the host of Government Matters at WJLA in the nation's capital. Speaking of the DOD in both instances, the DOD and climate change and the United States Navy. And what we learned from the Suez Canal is we need more friends around the Horn of Africa. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.